Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we locking in.
Shout to Emma, man. Emma, what up, man? Shout to Lush. Rose, what up? Shout to the intern, Kim, to her, man.
A cousin, a brother,
you know, someone that hurt you and you can't seem to, you know, to be past it. Some people can forgive and be okay with it. Some are more stubborn, or some, you know, the reasons are different, you know. But my question is, how long is too long to carry, you know, to carry that grudge? Like, how long is, you know, like, 10 years? Like, you're going on 20 years, you haven't spoken to somebody? Like, that's not long enough, you know what I'm saying? Like, how long is actually too long? My fashion sheet is bugging out. Who is in here, my spirit? How long is too long? I thought I left the devil in the closet. I think it's faxing now. Anyway, so I see you 240. I see you, caller. Just give me 1 second. Let me just finish my, you know, my thoughts, and I'll be right with you. 240. I see you. So how long is too long for you to carry a grudge? You know what I'm saying? And who does it really hurt when you carry a grudge against somebody? And like, is it affecting the person that you're not speaking to? You have the grudge on, or is it hurting you? You know what I'm saying? Like, who does it really hurt? And that's something that everybody individually has to, you know, on his own. Somebody told me today that, and I felt like kind of a hypocrite afterwards. Somebody told me today, because I'm in a situation now where I have to forgive someone that did harm to me for a lot of years, and I'm working through it, you know? And so it's not the easiest thing, but how am I going to tell other people when, you know, in that same situation, listen, you should forgive, you should do this, and I'm in a situation now and I'm not taking my own advice. I seem more like a hypocrite doing so. So I'm battling with that situation right now, and, you know, we'll see how it goes. I'll keep you posted, you know what I'm saying? So 240, y'all with Emma, E2K, E2K on the spot. 240, are you on? Maybe they just want to listen. Okay. Ready? All righty, then I'll just keep on with my thoughts.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this my boo-boo?
Yeah, this is Lushy Lush, man.
Oh, everybody, she's calling in live from the hospital. My boo-boo got a boo-boo. You like boo-boo?
Yeah, man, I'm calling live for the hospital showing support, you know what I'm saying, because y'all always hold me down, you, Rose, Future Guru, the whole squad, you know what I'm saying. I'm live in the hospital, and you know what I'm saying, the work don't stop, and you got a great topic, and you're going to have a great show tonight. I just had to show you some support.
Thank you, Mama. I love you so much, sis. And you already know I got you. I got you all day. You rest, you get better, and, you know, and we just keep doing what we do.
That's what's up. Love you, too.
I love you, too. And say you love you to Rosé, because Rosé is on the board. I forgot to tell everybody. Rosé is holding me down tonight. She's back. She was on vacay, but she's back.
Yeah, I love Rose too, man. I love all of y'all, man. I'm out of here. I've got to get this morphine so I can, you know what I'm saying, knock this pain out real quick.
Damn, they got you a morphine, girl.
Yeah, man.
Well, sis, have a rest. Thank you for the show. I got you. I love you. You know, thank you for holding me down as well, even in the hospital. But this is, you know, this is the difference between leaders and followers, and we just, you know, we're leading this. So what we do, you know, we live it. That's it. There's just not enough to say. There's no vacations. Even in the hospital, no damn vacations. So get better. Is she still on? I think she got off. I love you, sis. You're still watching anyway on the stream, so you're able to hear what I'm saying. I love you much, and, you know, we're just going to go. And keep talking about the topic of today. And again, you know, I was going to give you a reason why I get into my topic. So here it goes. You know, this is real talk, real life, and that's how we keep it funky. You know, I got a phone call today letting me know that my father, my biological father, my sperm donor, my father, is in the hospital and has cancer. And it seems not to be good. Because I don't have a relationship with my father. And, you know, and this is a moment in time where, what do you do? You know? So it's been a long time coming, I guess, where we have to both resolve and talk and stuff like that. And it's not the easiest thing when you have a split with somebody that way. You know, regardless, he is my father, and, you know, because of him, I'm here, and I've done good things, and he wasn't a good father to me at all, but nevertheless, you know, he's my father, and because of him and my mom's, I'm here. So out of that respect, I'm going to go see him and, you know, and make my amends with him. No, we're not going to be best friends, maybe. I'm not looking for that type of thing, but I am looking for closure, I guess, for both me and him. So you know, so it goes. So how long do you carry the grudge? I've been carrying a grudge against my own father for 30-something years, and that's a long time. And when do I forgive? I guess this is the time to forgive, because I may not have another time or opportunity to do so. So, you know, this is my burden to carry. So call me 347-826-7722 and let me know about the grudge you're carrying and how long you've been carrying it for, and when do you think it should be time for forgiveness. You know, along with me dealing with that with my father, after an issue with two other people that I'm not going to blast them on the air, one being a male deadbeat dad and one being another female old BFF. And I'm going to resolve with my issues with them as well. And, you know, it'll be on my time because they had their time. So now, yeah, it's definitely got to be on mine. And you know, we're going to make that happen. So 917, you're on with Emma E2K on E2K on the spot. Okie dokie. 917. All right. Okay. They left. Anyway. So, yeah, so, you know, true confession, need to pay on the fire, it's on real life, I'm into that. So if I don't talk about real stuff and real topic about things that really happened to me, then how do I expect for the listeners to do so? Don't forget to follow me on the Facebook.com/Emma E2K. I'm on here as well. Feel free to answer. The topic is posted. Feel free to answer it, and I will announce it on the air. Follow me on the Twitter. Follow me. Emma E2K, also E2K_magazine. I also want to let you know about this Thursday, anybody that's in the New York City area, we're having our fundraiser for our E2K's ninth annual Kris Kringle Toy Drive. So it's our ninth year already, y'all, and it's a good look. We've been able to give toys to hundreds and hundreds of neighborhood children in the Bronx area. And the reason why I do the Bronx, everybody's asking me, why you don't do Brooklyn one? Because I'm paying back, you know. Bronx, I've lived in the Bronx. I used to live in the Bronx. I lived in the Bronx for 40 years. So there's a lot of years that I have to give back to. Although maybe not all the time it was pleasant living there, it's still what made me who I am today. So I pay homage, you know. Everybody has to learn to pay homage. Homage to your area, homage to your family, homage to those that came before you. And that's what I do, you know, so try to give back. So this is our ninth annual, and we're going to have the fundraiser at Mimosa's Lounge. Mimosa's Lounge is dedicated at 1237 Castle Hill Avenue. She's also on Mimosa's Lounge. I think I got to stop sticking the E&D. Mimosa's Lounge is located on Castle Hill, but they're also on the Facebook. You can follow them on the Facebook, Mimosa Lounge. Just type it up in like that. And all the information, their flyers up in there. Doors will open up at 9 o'clock. There is no dress code. The only dress code will be no fitted hat, no baseball cap, and no do-rag. And, you know, please come, you know, come representable. I don't want to take a picture of you looking all like you just woke up and stuff. You know, come and have a drink with me, chill. All donations, all proceedings is going to the toy drive, which will be on December 22nd. from 1 to 5 at Mimosa's Lounge as well. So make sure you write down the calendar. We are giving free toys. We're opening the door to the community and giving our free toys to the community children. Everybody's welcome, but it is for the kids. You know, we're actually having stuff from baby all the way to like 16, 17-year-olds, I believe. We extended it because we used to do it for 14. I think we extended it to about 16, 17 years old. So make sure you come. Even if you have your teenagers, bring them along and, you know, for them to pick up something, get a little goodie or something, you know, 2 days before Christmas. And that's sponsored by E2K Magazine. It's sponsored by Lush Radio Online, Mimosa's Lounge, It's a She Thing Entertainment, the Av Records, and, you know, more people to come. I'm not going to keep mentioning it because last time I mentioned a whole bunch of people and they didn't even show up to my event. So we're going to stop doing that. Anyway, and I'm not carrying a grudge. I'm just saying. It's not a grudge thing. I'm just shouting people out. Sometimes you got to do that. So anyway, so 917-347-826-7722. Feel free to call in and talk to me. I want to hear what you got to say about carrying a grudge, you know, what's too long about carrying it, and when do you forgive, or do you forgive, you know? And while you're thinking and you're dialing, and, you know, we still got some callers, we got two callers on the line, I'm going to go into a song. Rosé, play whatever. It's on you. Whatever you want to play, play it. It's on you. It's on you, baby. Play whatever you want. Let's go to Shimmy Shimmy with Not 50. Let's do it, man. Shout out to Not 50 Plus, yo. Ad record. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sip driller, bang like gorilla. Got a tendency to pillar when I drill her. I can feel her shiver.
Already in her, living in her liver like I'm liquor winding down in her spine. Better get her, get her.
She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be trying to give it to me, then I beg her quickly, quickly. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. Dollars in the cup, cause I ain't trying to fill my drink.
Fulfill my drink, women in the pink. Back her blackberry shakes, the CD on my link. Bathroom in the sink, and we grind to the beat. Then I think, why dance when we go
I agree, she say I agree. When I open up my mouth, pull that liquor side of me. Then I splash her, as I lick her body to get high. Roll her live, blow her sour to the sky. Baby, we just slide. Slow it down, then you slow it down, then you slow it down, then you she be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be trying to give it to me, then I beg her, quicker, quicker. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. Dollars in the cup, cause I ain't tryna steal my dream. Banging the bubble, getting it wet, making it puddle. Give me the druggy, trying to get twisted, get you a couple. Make them drink until they all faded. Sit back like the split, watch them kiss, I be coordinated.
And I be doing things with your bro, though. Naked, never get it, mistaken. Make her pop it like bacon. Shake it till she break it, and of course she gon' take it. And of course on top of me is her favorite. I think it's time to slide.
Slow it down, then you slow it down, then you slow it down, then you she be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be working, make a shimmy, shimmy. She be trying to give it to me, then I beg her quickly, quickly. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. When she twerking, I just stand here. Ballads in the cup, cause I ain't trying to fill my drink.
I like that song, man. It should be popping. Not 50 plus, man. Shout it out. I heard they're playing AG's and Not 50 songs for Hello. From Master Fleck has played it already twice on his show. So shout out to them. That's what's up. That's a good look, y'all. I'm very proud of y'all. Shout out to Ronnie Molina on the check-in, on the Facebook. Shout out to my Twitter heads and everybody coming on the stream. I see y'all. I'm waiting for y'all. We're discussing the topic today. How long is too long to carry a grudge? And when do you forgive? You know, when do you forgive? There's some people that can't ever seek forgiveness. You know, and when do you forgive? There's got to be a time that you forgive. And, you know, when is that time? When is the right time to forgive? 10 years later, 20 years, you may miss, you know, the person may pass away, and then you don't have that time. So, you know, and how do you feel when you can, you know, tell that person whatever it is, whether it be your loved one or not, just the person that you just want to say something to, but that opportunity passed, you know? So that's, you know, that's the topic we're discussing. Is on a personal note, like again, like I repeated earlier, stated earlier, you know, I'm in that crossroad right now. We're having to acknowledge that with my father, the forgiveness situation, you know? So it's not an easy thing to forgive, but to forgive is to divine, I heard somebody say. And you're always the bigger person when you forgive. Always depending on what you're forgiving about, because you can forgive but you can't forget, you know what I mean? And if you ain't, you know, if the other person ain't doing the right thing, you can still forgive them. And then don't necessarily mean you have to keep them in your life. 516, y'all were Emma E2K on E2K on the spot, 516.
Hey, Green Eye Rodney. What's going on, man? How you feel today?
Rodney, what's good, baby?
I'm chilling. It's all good, you know. I'm still getting over the Thanksgiving weekend. It was fabulous. It was fabulous.
Stretching it a little bit too much, Rodney. Taking it a little bit.
Oh, sweetie, it's that you don't know. I haven't had such a, you know, I haven't treated myself well for a while. And this was like I broke the chains, you know what I mean? And I really had a great time with family and friends, you know?
In that case, it's awesome. That's awesome, and you get a pass. If it was because with family and friends, then you definitely get a pass, because we all deserve to treat ourselves right, you know what I mean? Most definitely.
I can remember when you said, you know, hey, I love myself, and you gave yourself a kiss, you know, right on your show.
I was just looking at myself. Good God.
There you go. Put on the
I just want to date myself sometimes.
That's what's up. You know, but yeah. But touching on the subject, you know, you really went deep on this one, because, you know, I'm gonna speak from life experience, and I'm gonna keep it as brief as possible. You know, to the very day, I put it this way: look, a single act of compassion can put you in touch with your own reality. Okay. Now, when you just said you can forgive but you can't forget, that's just another way of saying I'm not going to forgive. You know? Mm. And one of the biggest, one of the best weapons that there is in this world, in this fast-paced world that we're living in, is forgiveness, you know, because a lot of people do not understand the true meaning of forgiveness. Like, for instance, myself, and I'm going to keep it on the eye, you know, and I'm going to put it out there, too, for all the listeners. You know, I was happily married for close to 7 years, you know, and my wife decided to play me, you know, and I happened to find out, you know, And with all of that, I still wanted to go to marriage counseling, so on and so forth. So to make a long story short, she wasn't with it. I left New York. I left my daughter out there. And, you know, she has held a grudge for over 4.5 years, okay? And she has put me through the ringer. I mean, going to family court to see my daughter and so on and so forth. You know, I paid child support. Now, the courts just recently gave me joint custody. But it took 4 years, Emma. It took four years. You know, of her false allegations, her running around, her trying to, you know, keeping incognito, and so on and so forth. And, you know, to me, that's somebody like, damn, you know, it's like, yo, well, how come you can't get over that? You know, I mean, we both made bad decisions, but mama, you know what? We said I do to each other till death do us part. You know what I mean? I don't know. Call me old-fashioned or what, but that's just the way I'm, you know, throwing it out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting it in the air. Call me old-fashioned or what, but, you know, I was willing to work it out to the very end. But there's just some people that hold grudges, Emma, and you know what? They may hold a grudge against another person, and that other person will just continue with life, enjoying their life. Meanwhile, the other person that's holding a grudge is miserable because they're still holding a grudge against that other person. Meanwhile, that person isn't even in their life anymore.
Right, Vani, let me ask you a quick question because I could be wrong, but I kind of sense still, and I hear it in the air and in your voice, that you battling with the forgiveness situation. So have you forgave her?
In my heart, let me tell you, Emma, I'm being more than brutally honest. You know, as a spiritual man, sometimes my peoples even ask me, hey, you know what? If she was to say, let's work this out, would you do it? And I have to take a step back and think about it because you know what, Emma? I'm going to be real. I'm going to keep it real because I'm a man. I still love my wife. You know what I'm saying? I still love my wife. Regardless of what she did, she may have been going through things that she didn't communicate with me. Regardless of what she did, that's my wife. That was my wife. That's the only time I was ever married.
Right.
And like I said, call me old-fashioned, but when I made my vows, those were my vows. That was my word.
Now, I respect that, and I'm just totally listening to what you're saying, and I'm hearing your feelings, and, you know, of course, me, I can't hear her side of the story, but, you know, love has to go both ways. Understanding has to be a two-way street, you know, so sometimes, you know, unfortunately, when we love, we can love and love to death a certain person and dedicate ourselves to them and them not feel the same way about us. And we have to learn how to really cope with that and take it in the chin is basically the only way to even say that, you know?
Well, that's why I always tell friends of mine that are still married and I see that they're happily married. You know, I tell them, you know, God bless your marriage, so on and so forth. But let me tell you something. I always tell them, you know what? Grow together. Not one grow ahead of the other one. You know what I'm saying? Not one be ahead, a step ahead of the other one. Grow together. Have communication in your life. You know, have trust in your life. have, you know, of course, you know, spice up everything with your intimacy. You know, all of those mm-hmm. things come into play. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to throw this one out in the air. My brother is going back, my older brother, you know, my older brother is going back to the same woman for the fourth time with the involving the same man. Where it's coming to the point where I'm telling him, I'm starting to lose respect for my own older brother.
Well, I mean, well, you know, well, I don't see, that's kind of tough. That's kind of tough to say that you're losing respect for a man that's feeling like you, that loves this woman and is trying as many times as he possibly could to continue the relationship. You know what I'm saying? So that's, because you're kind of saying the same thing, that you're willing to go to counseling and do whatever because you truly love her. So he obviously feels the same way about, you know, his situation.
Yes, Emma, but four times, baby? Four times?
Some people go back 7, 8, or 9 until they, you know, until they get it. There's people that, you know, I mean, other people learn faster than others, you know. Some people can get it.
And some people don't.
And some people won't. You know what I mean? Some people got to bang their head against a brick wall and others, you know, all they have to see somebody else go through it, and they learn from that, and they go with that, and they back up. So some people learn from other people's experience. Other people got to have their own. But, let me go into this next caller, Rodney.
Absolutely.
Okay. Stay hanging out with me because, you know, this is today is just a serious topic.
Yes, it
and,
is.
You know,
it's deep.
It's real deep, and I always... And I always like to explain how I get, you know, how I get the topics, and because, you know, people are asking me, how'd you come up with that or whatever. I'm actually living and experiencing this situation, you know, as we speak. You know, I have to find a way to forgive my father, you know, the man that made me with my mother. And, you know, and they had a They married. They got divorced when I was 2 years old. It was a rocky divorce. You know, it didn't go very well. My father was a street person, you know. He lived his life. You know, he lived the lavish life. He lived, you know, the life with all the women and, you know, back and forth and the papi chulo and being in his 40s and 50s, dating still 16 and 19-year-old girls and whatever. He lived his life. I'm not nobody to judge him. I'm not his judge or jury. You know, he, at his time, he will have to meet the maker and he will have to make amends with him. But that time is coming sooner than I thought. So, you know, before he goes and makes his peace with the maker, I have to make my peace with him. And I have to learn to forgive him. And him and I have not had a relationship in 30-something years. Even probably longer than I'm going to be 43 years old. They got divorced when I was 2. And I've seen them very periodically through my upbringing. I remember at 8 years old. I remember again, I think I was 14. And then again, like at 16. So it was like very periodically that I've seen them. You know, and I remember being happy to see him. The little bit of times that I used to see him, I was very happy to see him. And he seemed to be proud of me, to see me. And that made me feel good for the moment. But he was actually the first male to abandon me, the first male to, you know, show me that that not everything lasts as far, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's kind of a rough situation, you know, what I'm going through. And that's what led me to this topic. How long is too long to carry the grudge, and when do you forgive? So, for me, it's been 30-something years. I guess the time is now. The time to forgive is now. Before I have an opportunity or a time to forgive. So, my time to forgive will be now, you know. So, but I want to share with the public, you know, my Facebook, because everybody's on the check-in. This topic is hot. Yeah, that is being like a hypocrite. Shout out to Giselle that's on the check-in. That would be being a hypocrite, me advising people, you know, you should do this, you should do that, and then when, you know, I'm faced with it, I don't go and do what I'm supposed to do. Because not only so much I'm doing it for him, you know what I'm saying, honestly speaking, I'm still kind of hurt and bitter, but I'm doing it for me to release, to let I can be in peace with it. And when it's time for him to meet his maker, then he has to make peace with it, because I am no judge or jury. You know what I'm saying? I'm no one to judge him. I've made mistakes. I've flawed. I've done things that I know I wasn't supposed to do. So who am I? You know what I'm saying? I'm really nobody to judge him. I'm not trying to sit in a chair to judge him. I'm only, I guess, speaking, you know, from feelings, from being an abandoned little girl. You know, it's a painful thing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just living through my pain. But I have to rise above that. And get closure. If not for him, for myself, I have to see closure. So shout out to everybody in the Ustream now that I'm depressing you on a Saturday, right? The topic is kind of deep. You know, call in. Let me know, you know, what you carry a grudge about, because I know people, everybody carries their grudges. So, you know, how long is too long to carry a grudge? And, you know, and when is it time for, you know, for you to forgive, you know? Rose, do you carry a grudge? Are you carrying any type of grudge or anything? Nobody, anybody you kind of disliking or hating or not even hating. I'm not going to use the word hate, just, you know, because you can still love a person and still just have a grudge against them, you know, something that they did against you or something, you know, you didn't like or uncomfortable situation they put you in. You know, that you're carrying a grudge, but you can still love somebody and still have a grudge. I'm not going to say, you know, hate or whatever. But Rosie Rose on the board, nothing? Nothing? You don't have no grudge? You in peace with everybody? Wow. No grudges? No? That's what's up. I want to grow up to be just like you, in peace and no grudge with nobody. So I'm going to tend to my business so I won't have so I won't have another grudge, you know, and that's what it is. Call in 347-826-7722. Actually, the lines are really off the hook. For a minute there, we had the lines going a little crazy, and we have to kind of calm it down, you know what I'm saying, giving everybody the ample time to speak and stuff. But let's go into a song. Let's go into a song, and Little Body Crazy? Let's go into a song, Little Body Crazy. Rose, hit me with it.
White hot with a...
Get it right now. You can ride on me, call me Greyhound.
Shout out to everybody on the check-in. I see ya. Everybody on the, whoever's on the stream, and if y'all also Facebooking or Twittering, hit me up on that as well, so that I can give y'all shouts and stuff like that. Make sure that everybody knows y'all on the check-in. It's okay on the spot every Saturday. Also, don't forget my Lush Radio online midnight hour. Every Tuesday night at midnight from 12 to 1, I play feel-good music that makes you feel good. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to one of my shows, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/LushRadioOnline and make sure you listen to the Tuesday midnight hour. And I play some serious, like, baby-making music, like Cougar on the Cougar's Lair music, like you really trying to get some music, like you could just hear it and relax and chill out music. It's just feel-good music. It'll make you feel good and warm and fat all over inside. So make sure you check me out Tuesday midnight. That's Tuesday right midnight. You do the countdown with me, 10, 9, 8 on Tuesday night on the midnight hour. And it's usually me. I got my co-host, TDI, that steps in and, you know, and helps me on the ones and twos. And sometimes, you know, I got Lush, and whoever wants to pop in and co-host with me, you know, by all means, hit me up, do that. And that's how we do, you know what I mean? That's how we keep it, on the side. So going back to touching on the topic, because I got to keep repeating because people keep logging in, keep listening and stuff like that. So the topic is, how long is too long to carry a grudge, and when do you forgive? You know, how long is too long? 30-something years too long? That probably is, but that's the number that I got. You know what I'm saying? I'm 30-something years, you know, with a grudge. And I don't know if I would call it a grudge. I guess it is a grudge, you know, because if I'm not speaking to my father and I feel some sort of way about him, then I guess it is a grudge, you know, because a grudge is, whenever you hear then the person's name or somebody, so, you know, like somebody will ask me, you know, how's your father? Who's your father? Do you look like your mother or your father? And it's like a thing, like, father, like a thing on my neck. And that's like, what? You know, like a thorn. So, yeah, I guess when you have a grudge for somebody and somebody asks you or talks or mentions the next person's name, you also catch that feeling. So, yeah, I guess it's a grudge. But I'm going to face it. I'm going to go head on, and I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to face another obstacle in my life. This has been a huge one, one of the, you know, biggest ones, one of the biggest hurdles that I have to face. Do I want to? No. Was I trying to get out of it earlier? Probably so. Yeah, I was. I'm not going to lie. But I know at the end of the day, I have to do what's right, and that's right, you know what I'm saying, so, you know, get the grudge away, so that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, another shout-out to Party Artie, rest in peace, Party Artie, P-A-D-A, you know, you're still in our hearts and in our minds, you know, forever. And happy born day to Jay-Z and Tyra Banks, who's celebrating, you know, a birthday. Amelia Moore should be calling in about 9 o'clock, and, you know, we await her call. Also, we got several people that should be calling in talking about the fundraiser that we're having for the 9th annual Kris Kringle Toy Drive, which will be this Thursday, December 9th, The doors open at 9 o'clock. It'll be at Mimosa's Lounge. Mimosa's Lounge is located at 1237 Castle Hill Avenue. And that's Bronx, New York. I don't have the zip code in mind. But she is follow on the Facebook. If anybody's on the Facebook, look for, you know, just type in Mimosa's Lounge. And you'll definitely find Mimosa's Lounge there. And the full address and the zip code will be there. If not, email me, E2K Magazine at gmail.com, or follow me on Facebook because I have everything posted on the Twitter. However, whatever is most convenient to you, you know, just follow me or Google me on Googleable. You know what I mean? So that's how we do. So, you know, those are the people that are calling in. For some reason, they just want to listen. I know the topic is deep, man. I really know it's deep, but I really would like to hear from somebody else. You know, to call in and let me know about their grudge, the grudge that they're holding. They don't have to say no names. You know, you don't necessarily have to say names. I just want, you know, so we can have some real talk. You know, it's not about really airing anybody out or shouting anybody out. It's just kind of, you know, I want to see what's too long. Like I said, I'm going through 30-something years of going through my situation, you know, with my dad, so... Call in 347-826-7722. Don't forget also to check out the website, www.e2kmagazineonline.com. You can also leave your comments for the question. You can also leave your comments for the question on the Facebook, and I'll also read it out as well. So... sorry, I'm also multitasking. Because I am in on the Facebook, I'm on the Twitter, and you know I'm trying to do everything. So 239-239, you're on with Emma E2K on the spot. Who is this and where you calling from?
What's up, Ma? It's me, Giselle.
Hey, all the way from Florida. What up, baby?
Just checking my girl out, doing her thing over here.
Yeah, you already know, man. You know how we do.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, I just wanted to say for all your listeners that's listening to you right now, me and you go way back, probably about 20 years or so. And even though you going through your situation or your little grudge or whatever, I just want to say that I don't think that that's something that ever affected you, your personality. Because you've always, as long as I've known you, you've always been such a good person, loving, positive. You know, when some people go, you know, when they hold on to grudges, they like miserable inside and they just miserable all the time. And you far from that. You're the total opposite. You've always been fun-loving. You've always been fun to be around. And I just thought that, you know, everybody needed to know that about my girl, M.
Oh, man. You want to catch some tears? I am not crying, Olivia. I'm not
crying. Because you know I love you, Mom. We go back. And, you know, I didn't really never know about you going through this with your father. So that's why I'm like, wow, man. You know, that was like touching me, looking at you. I was like, damn, man. I said, people just don't know. They see her on TV and they see her, you know, doing your thing. But to know you is to love you because you've always been a good, you know, you've always been a good person. And that shit ain't never affected you. And just, you know what, just forgive your dad. Get over it. It'll make you all the more better person. And you're going to be all right regardless, Ma. And I just wanted to say hi, and I love you, and I miss you, and all that good stuff.
I miss you, too. And thank you for the tearjerker.
You're welcome, baby.
Thank you. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I didn't want to do it.
Oh, my, you know I love you, baby. It's all love. It's all good, baby. I'm gonna let you get back to your viewers, and I'm going to stay tuned in, checking you out, Ma.
Thank you, Ma. I appreciate it so much. You know, I returned the love. It's crazy that you say that.
It's all good, baby. I just wanted to give you that quick shout-out, baby. You continue your show, and I'm going to just, you know, stay over here watching you do your thing, baby.
Thank you. Thank you, Ma. I love you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ma. I love you too, baby.
Because I love you so much, I'm going to give you a pass on this tear jerking thing. You know what I mean?
I'll take it. Yeah, me, my coño. It's all good, baby.
Thank you, Ma. Yeah. So, I appreciate those kind words. She knows me for a very long time. So, I guess because of my experience with my dad, I could have went another route. I could have been bitter, like she said. And for a little while, I was like that. Past my teenage years, fighting a lot, I ended up, not graduating. I had to go back and get my GED. I had a lot of situations, in junior high school and high school. I was fighting every day. I had a lot of aggression, a lot of anger. And I guess after that, as you go on maturing a little bit and stuff like that, I kind of didn't want to be negative, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to be that people pointed to me and said that, because you don't have a father or whatever have you and stuff. So I think I actually used that and actually made it a more positive situation for myself. I advocate that a lot to my friends. Like when they pass into something, I always tell them to try to look at the positive things, which is not easy. Let me tell you something. The hardest thing is to remain positive in a negative situation. Holy moly. That's work. That's really work, trying to really stay focused and positive when all this negative stuff is around you or all people are telling you or consulting you to do is negativity, because negative stuff comes like this easy. You can get angry at a moment. How many people haven't killed someone else in a moment, got angry and didn't think about it and now are bidding 25 years? Or they get football numbers because they didn't take the time to stop and think. The devil is always working. He's working, and that's why you have to work even more. Even more than he does, because he don't sleep. And you see, we sleep. We have to sleep. Our body automatically will shut us down to sleep. He don't sleep, so he's always a step and two and three steps ahead of us in trying to trick us. You know what I'm saying? And doing things. So even if you don't believe in God or whatever, certain people, and I respect everybody's religion, whether you believe in God, Allah, higher power, the Buddha, whatever it is that, supreme being, your spirituality takes you to, we all know that even in being in tune with that, it has to be on a positive note. You can't come to that that positive energy or supreme being or God or Allah or whatever with the negative. It has to remain the positive. So, I try to stay that way. And that's, like I said, the hardest thing to do. Try to remain positive in a negative situation. You know what I'm saying? When everybody's going off the hook and you're like, listen, think about it, breathe, make the decision tomorrow, not today, and then you want to just kick yourself like, so you're fighting with yourself. You got the good one and the bad one, they're sitting there and they're just talking to you and they're like nipping in your ear, hey, do good, do bad, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. And it's a battle, it's a mental battle, it's a spiritual battle, it's just a battle. But, that's why they said never envy nobody's life, because you don't know what it is that they're enduring and they're dealing with. People sometimes see my life, other people's life, they're like, oh, she got it like that. She's this, whatever, blah, blah, this and that. You don't even know what hell that person is enduring or living, inside. So don't ever try to say the grass is greener on the other side, so you have been over there, because it may look green like in the front, and then when you actually get to cross and you see that grass all burned out and stuff like that, shit looking all whatever, you're like, damn, I should have put on the other side. I thought the grass was green over here. So, saying all that is just to say that we just have to live our best life, with no regrets. And in order to live your life with no regrets, you can't have no grudges. So I have to let go of my grudge, and I will. I am. I'm working on it. I'm going to let go one of my main grudges, because I have two more that are on my wrist. But this one is my main one, because this consists of my father. So this is actually a main one, a main hurdle that I have to get through. And I will. You know what I'm saying? I have faith. I have strong friends that are praying for me. You know, I got a prayer war going on here, that people really, really are praying for me. So, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it, you know. So shout out to Michael, my Tanya, that's on the check-in in Philly, holding me down soon. She's here doing her 1-2s as well. That's why I keep looking this way, so I don't want y'all people to think I'm twisting my neck, and that she's there. She doesn't want to, you know, be in there, but she's there. So that, say something so they don't think I'm crazy.
Something.
Yeah, I heard it. I said something.
She's not going crazy.
Okay, cool. So that's the reason why I look that way, and the reason why, you know, you hear commotion sometimes, because things that happen in the background. Because I left the devil in the closet, and a nigga snuck out. And he's doing his 1-2 over here, as deshaciendo exactly. So anyway, let me call in 347-826-7722 and call in to let me know about your grudges, or if you have grudges or not, or even if you have a solution for not having grudges or having grudges, or, you know, what your opinion and your thoughts are. Call in, and we're going to go into music. Rosé, are you on the check-in? Hit me with something, Rosé. Give me something. We're going to go into some music, and we're going to wait, because I think it's about the second hour we're about to go get into, and I'm waiting for the young lady, Miss Amelia Moore, to call in, and hopefully she'll call in, you know, exactly at 9, if not after. But if not, the show must go on. Shout out to Lushy, who's in the hospital, doing her 1-2s and checking us out. We love her. We're here holding her down. Lush, you know, is going through a surgery. I'm not going to spread your business like that. You know, I'm just going to say that everybody keep your prayers for her. You know, she's good. She's solid. She called in earlier, and, you know, she stays calling me, giving me her updates, and I will let you know about her updates as soon as I know them. Follow me on the Facebook, MAE2K. Follow me on the Twitter, MAE2K. I'm Googleable, son. Just Google me, MAE2K or E2K Magazine. I'm Googleable. Rose, what you got for me, Rose? Rosé. Say me something. Rosé. I'm not feeling it. No, Rosé. I think she's falling asleep. Did she go to the bathroom? She took a break. Did she not tell me she's taking a break? All right. I don't know how to keep talking. So, I gave already all my shout-outs. My wants to shout-out to Monique from Mimosa Lounge. Okay, Ro came back. Ro, play music. I asked you to play me something, Ma. Play whatever you want. Shout-out to Rose, to players on the board, doing her 1-2s in college, man. She's doing her thing. She's hitting them books, doing the homework. Okay. Before we go into that, then 347, y'all, with Emma E2K. Who's this and where you calling from? You got to lower your
set. I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Who's this? Baby, I'm getting feedback.
This is Jake, I'm calling from Brooklyn.
Baby, I'm getting feedback. You have to either get away.
So wherever you're listening, you can do both. You can be on the phone and listen.
Hello?
Hello? Okay, yeah, cool. Who's this? I'm sorry.
You're talking to Jacob, and I'm from Brooklyn.
Jacob from Brooklyn?
Yes, sir.
What's up? What's going on, Jacob? Thanks
how
for
you
calling.
Doing? We're talking about grudges.
Yes, we're talking about grudges. We're talking about how long is too long to carry a grudge, and when do you forgive? Like, when is it time to forgive a grudge?
I mean, what is too long, though?
Well, I've been carrying a grudge against my father for the last 30-something years, close to 40 years.
Is that too long? I mean, you know what it is? It's that now that you realize it, you was like, when you hold a grudge, you're in a state of ignorance, you feel me? That's how I feel. You're in a state of ignorance. So you finally wake up one day, right? So when do you, when you actually wake up, then it's too long, and you realize, like, is it too long? Then yes, it has been too long. That's how I feel.
Okay, okay, I get it now. But also keeping in mind, the reason why all of a sudden I'm getting this epiphany is because my father just got diagnosed with cancer. You know, like 3 sets of different cancers. Like, this could be his moment to, you know, hit them golden gates. You know, everybody's getting at me that I should forgive him, because if he does pass and I don't do that for myself, then I'm going to regret it because I won't have a time, of course, after he's not around. So I'm battling with that. That's what I'm battling with the grudge thing. I do have a grudge because he was, you know, he was an absent father. He wasn't there for me. You know what I'm saying? And but I'm at an age now that I can't keep harboring that either. That
okay,
is affecting.
Okay, so okay.
That,
okay, so yeah. Hold on. It's that okay, now that you're questioning yourself, that it's how can I say it? Now that you're questioning yourself, that is it, has it been so long? Yes, it has been so long because you're questioning yourself. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to when you first just, you was just holding the grudge. You was like, nah, fuck it. Fuck, you know, he did me dirty. Fuck that, you know. I'm going to hold this grudge, blah, 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 blah. Then there comes a time where you're like, oh, shit, you know, should I forgive this person? Now you have to tell yourself, okay, now that I'm even questioning, you have, I don't know how to say it.
What I don't want to do is I don't want to regret leaving that he passed, and then I get it like afterwards, and then what I do then it's too late. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to catch the moment. Somebody told me that even if I don't feel it right now, to still do it, because God forbid that he ends up passing, at least I did, and I don't have that damn, I should have, you know, if I would have, you know what I mean? So what do you think about that?
Yeah, I hear you.
Right. So now
it sounds like you want to find out if you should get over your own grudge. Is that what you're asking?
I'm in a confused stage right now. I don't really even know. I don't even know what I truly feel. I don't know what I truly should do. Like, I'm keeping it real. I'm keeping it 100 about my situation. I really don't know. I guess I won't know if I don't make the attempt. Like, once I'm there and I see him, and then, you know, I guess that will take its place. Because sometimes you feel some way about somebody, and all you need is to kind of be face-to-face with them, and then everything just kind of naturally happens or comes out, or, you know what I mean? So I'm going to try to put that to the test. But, Jason, I feel like I'm talking to my therapist. Listen.
Do you have a grudge?
A shout out to
Brooklyn,
shout out to
BK. Shout out to BK, yeah.
Definitely. Listen, you still got a lower stick. I still hear myself in the background. I don't want to keep hearing myself repeating myself.
Nah, I just
want to
see you too, that's all.
I can't lean, though,
but I'm talking to you. I know it happens.
Okay, Mira, listen to me. Any grudge that you have?
You got a nice smile, you know?
Listen, any grudges that you have? Any grudges? No?
Do I have a grudge? You know what? I do have grudges. Well, I don't act upon them. I don't know. I don't know. I just, if it's that serious, I don't think about it. All right, cool. Like, it shouldn't matter, right? After the point, you got a grudge, you know?
Yeah, but if it's not like, that serious, then why carry the grudge?
Exactly.
Rite, I'm giving you therapy right back. Rite.
No, you're giving yourself therapy. Look, I'm just asking a question.
Jason just turned into my therapist. That's good,
nah.
No, because, see, at least it's a free therapy session. So I'm enjoying it.
I didn't need that laugh
because when Giselle called in earlier, she's making me boo.
Yeah, I like making people laugh. Why not?
Y'all people making me laugh, cry. I'm drinking. Come on. Hello, B.
Hey, you having fun. That's all, man. That's fun. You know? All right. But you have a happy holidays, okay?
Thank you, honey. You as well. You as well. You're in Brooklyn. Why don't you come through Thursday? How old are you, first of all?
I'm 33.
Oh, my God. You sound like a baby. So, listen.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Nah, I'm lying. I'm not going to tell you my age. That's all. I just want to keep that private.
Okay. I'm 43, so I'm going to be 43. Let me not put an extra year yet, you know what I mean? But this Thursday in the Bronx, I'm going to be doing a fundraiser
right.
for the toy drive that we're doing December 22nd. So if you want to come through, we're going to be, you know, doing our one-twos over there. If you want to come through and meet the E2K gang and the Lush Radio Online gang, will be out there, you know, collecting toys.
Ah, okay. I hear that.
So, that's Thursday. Are you on Facebook? Jason? BJ? Or BK? I think we lost it. Okay. Well, anyway, you're still listening. You're still checking me out. If you have time, or if you're on the Facebook, make sure you follow me, @Emma E2K, and all the information for the fundraiser is actually posted up there. So make sure you get that information, and if you can come out, you know, I always love to see, you know, and meet my listeners, as long as they ain't psycho and none of that stuff. You don't sound like a psycho dude because you were psychoanalyzing me, so sometimes that could be a little dangerous, so I don't know. I think I should tell you where I'm going to be at. I'm only kidding. But I will be at Mimosa's Lounge on Thursday. You know, everybody come through, support the cause. We are collecting toys, and it's a $10 donation. Of course, if you want to leave more, it's optional, but it's no less than $10. And we're going to be partying all night. We're going to have DJ Big Jeff on the Wheels of Steel. DJ Big Jeff is from Club 4040. And we're also going to have DJ Dre. Dre will be also spinning as well. And there's going to be other celebrity DJs that are going to come through. You know, a lot of people from the industry are going to come through and support, bringing toys and bringing their donations for our toy drive that's on December the 22nd. And it's looking like a good look. Everybody's hitting me up. Everybody's excited. You know, we're all going to come out and along with, of course, having fun and being happy that we're seeing each other, I'm a god disconnected with y'all. I say 11 minutes to the last song. We also will be, you know, doing it for a great cause, which will be for collecting toys and stuff like that for the drive. Shout out to everybody that's on the check-in. On the Twitter, on the Facebook, I see everybody. Hit me up on the IM, no problem. You can answer the topic. If you don't want to call in, 347-826-7722, and you just want to stay looking or you just want to stay listening, however it is that you're able to see me or hear me, you could also, if you're on the Facebook, answer the topic. Go to my Facebook, /MIE2K, and the topic is posted up there. The topic for today is how long is too long to carry a grudge, and when do you forgive? You know what I'm saying? When is that time that you feel that you forgive or you should forgive? I guess when it's, I don't know, like Jason said, maybe when it's when you mature. Somebody else had told me that too. Pastor Elliot, I was talking with earlier, also told me the same thing. You know, and when you talk, when you use the word maturity for those people, you know, maturity doesn't really come with age. There's some people that mature in different topics. Just because I'm not maybe mature in that situation, because it's very sensitive for me, doesn't mean that I'm not mature in other topics. So, you know, everybody has their weakness in some things or others. You know what I mean? I mean, we're all a work in progress. I'm a work in progress. You know, I'm not perfect. Like I said, I'm not here to judge. I can't judge nobody, not even my father. Where I feel that he's done me wrong, I'm no one to judge him. He would have to, you know, deal with that, you know, when he gets to his pearly gates and stuff. But as we're here, I have to do that, if not so much for him. You know, not I'm not even doing it for him. I'm actually doing it for me. Yeah. Do it for me. And let that go and stuff. So, okay. 516. Check in. Do you want to speak, Rodney? Or you just want to listen? It's cool. Rodney, you still on the line? Rose, can you bring him in?
I heard some good stuff, you know, especially from Jason. You said something about, you know, you felt like you were speaking with your therapist. You know what?
Yeah, give me a therapy session.
you know, on the real, because I can identify with you, for real. I am going to unite with my daughter who's going to be turning 10 years old in July. I haven't seen her in 5 years. I am scared to death, okay? And I don't even know what to say. After her mother has held, you know, this big grudge against me for whatever it's been, you know, it's just like,
let me just tell you something from a daughter that didn't have a father in her life present due to, you know, the grown-up situation. All we want is to know that you're there. You know, and even though her mother may or not, because I can't say that she's doing this or not, but even if her mother was to talk negative about you or say negative things about you, your absence, what it does is makes whatever the mother is saying true. Now, your presence diminishes what the mother is feeding to her. You understand?
Yeah, I understand that, Emma, but, you know, how long is it going to take?
Ronnie, that's what beats me down. But you're worrying about you and your wife. You're not thinking about your daughter.
No, I'm talking about my daughter. How long is it? Let's suppose my daughter rejects me in a certain way.
Then you keep on. You are the parent. She's the child. You is your responsibility. You bring her to this world. You keep on. You keep continuing to talk to her. You write to her. You email her. You find a way to make that relationship work with your daughter.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
You owe her that. There's no ifs and buts about it. I wish my dad was diligent like that and would have came no matter no holds barred, because we need that. You know, us as females, we need that. We need to have that male figure. That's why then guys be like, oh, these girls, they're so independent. They feel they don't need a man. Blah, blah, blah. It's not that we feel we don't need a man. We never had. No, man.
A father. You never had a father figure, a loving figure, a loving male figure. You never had that.
Exactly. So how can we identify when we get caught up with losers? How are we to know the difference?
Exactly. That's my point. That's exactly my point, because, you know, I can get a, let's suppose my daughter and I just get along like we always used to do. It was daddy's little girl, you know,
mm-hmm.
But, you know, I still, no matter what, would like to have some sort of civil relationship with her mother.
Okay, I get that. I totally agree with you 100% that should happen. But in the process of you doing that, don't lose focus on the main person that you need to have a relationship with, and that's your daughter.
Right.
You understand? Don't lose focus on your. What happens is, see, the children always the ones that get caught up in the middle and lose out because the parents are too busy trying to get at each other. And worrying about each other. Forget about all that. Your main thing and your only concern should be your daughter. You know, the mother will come around eventually.
Hello.
Even if
Hello.
And even, Give me 1 second.
Jacob,
hold on.
Jacob from Brooklyn. Hi, guys.
Hello?
Hold on.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. I don't know. Who is that? Rose, did you bring someone on? Okay. Rodney, are you there?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Okay,
and you know what, Emma? Everything you're saying, all right? I mean, everything you're saying. I took 2 years of psychology before I got my master's in business, all right? I wanted to be a high school counselor. That's what I wanted to do. But somewhere along the lines, I got my master's in business. Okay, now, you know, I know all about the whole psychobabble, even though I still go to therapy, you know, with you, and I have a really, really good therapist. You know, we meet eye to eye, and he tells me, man, he tells me just like this, all right, and I'm gonna end it with this. He tells me just like this. He says, Rodney, you have faith, right? He goes, you're a spiritual man. You know, you've been a civil servant. You did your thing, so on and so forth, and you moved on. And I said, yeah, you know, yeah, Jim, yeah. He says, but you know what? Fear paralyzes while faith activates. So when you, right, yeah. And then he said, faith and fear, they repel each other. They are total opposites. So when fear rises up, faith goes out the door. But when faith rises up, fear goes out the door. And this is the key factor to coming through all of our storms. You know, becoming a doer of and keeping our faith and dispelling the fear that the enemy or the adversary, the devil, whatever you want to call him, tries to put in us, all those lies. You know,
that's
so,
yeah, but
you know, in faith,
you walk strong and you're not afraid of nothing. So
right, and that is victory. Yeah. That's what's called victory that has overcome the world, our faith.
Absolutely, absolutely. Ronnie, give me a hold. I got to bring another caller in.
There you go.
Thank you, baby. 857-857, y'all with Emma, E2K, E2K on the spot. Who's this and where you calling from?
What's good, Emma? It's your boy Bugsy coming through showing that love as always.
Bugsy, what up, baby, man? Always a pleasure to hear you.
You already know, man. You know, trying to make it do what it do. I sound like you got a nice little topic on tonight.
Yeah, you know how it is, man. I got to bring the noise.
You got to. You got to get the people what they want.
I'm actually bringing the noise to myself tonight, but, you know, I'm putting my situation out there, but you know how it is. I mean, it's real talk up in here. So did you get to listen to the topic that we're discussing?
No, I ain't hear the topic, but, I mean, I kind of heard a little bit of the conversation that was just going on with, the kids in the middle of certain situations and you know, the faith and the fear and all that, you know. But, I mean, if you want to drop the topic by me right quick, you can run it, and I'll drop my jewels on it.
Okay. So the topic for today is how long is too long to carry a grudge, and when do you forgive?
Oh, man. As far as cause you know I'm about to go in, Emma. But as far as you know, holding that grudge, I say any second past that moment of time at hand is too long, because you know once you carry it on past that situation of wherever the situation happened at, you know you're carrying it on, and most likely if you're the person on the negative hand side that the other person's beating you, because now they're not stressing, they're living life and they're having fun, and you're sitting back and you're stressed over or whatever the situation may be at hand. But then again, too, it's also you got to let it go at that moment, because that'll cloud up everything else that you do in life. Because now you're worried about this situation, you're not focused on that, you're not focused on what you need to. because you're focused on one negative issue that happened. So any moment past that moment is definitely too long to hold a grudge.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I came to this topic today. You know, I will explain how I get the topic. The reason why, you know, and since you came on, I'm going to, you know, I don't mean to be repetitive. I'm just want to bring you up to speed on why we're discussing this. And I got a phone call today letting me know that my father, you know, is in the hospital and has cancer, you know, and it's not looking good. Now, I don't have a relationship with my father. You know, we've been very distant. He got divorced from my mother when I was 2 years old, and I've seen him among the years periodically, you know, when I was 8, when I was 14, when I was 16, like, you know, stuff like that. I don't really have memories of mom, of a dad, daddy, daughter's time, other than that when I used to go to the block to go see him, and he would, you know, of course, you know, have me like a trophy. Oh, this is my daughter. This is my daughter. She's beautiful. I love her. And for that moment, I saw that love, but after that, that was it, you know? You know, when I, there was a lot of times where I needed that father male figure. Of course, he wasn't there. He was living his own life. Now, I'm not no judge, no jury, you know, to judge him, but I was his little girl and his daughter. And so those feelings, those emotions is what I'm dealing and kind of fighting with, you know what I'm saying? I've been carrying that grudge 30-something years, you know, going on 40 years nearly. So is that too long? You know, and now I find myself, like, if I don't forgive him at this stage in time where now he may be hitting the pearly gates sooner than we think, am I going to regret not doing it? You know what I'm saying? And Jason from Brooklyn, I called earlier, and I have made a vivid point to say that it's in people's maturity too. You know, age doesn't necessarily say that you're, just because you're a certain age doesn't mean that you're mature. You know, and there could be younger people that are more mature. So, in that particular topic, I wasn't really too mature in it, and I carried the grudge for so long. You know, but in retrospect, my father is the one that had to carry with what he wasn't able to do for me. He was the parent. He was supposed to seek me. I was the child, you know. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't make myself here. I didn't make myself appear like boom, bing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he had to on that responsibility of bringing me into this world and making sure that I was okay. He didn't do that. So he doesn't have to answer to me, but come judgment day, he has to answer, you know, and do that. And for me to be free and for me to be able to move on and I get closure, I would have to then turn around and forgive him, you know. And in speaking now and doing this topic and even earlier today with my friends that I've been talking to, I'm more and more convinced that this is what I need to do, you know. Do I want to do it? Maybe I'm still, like, you know, indecisive or whatever. But after this big therapy session I'm getting over here, I think the best thing for myself probably will be for me to cleanse myself out of this, let them know what I feel, tell them, you know, what I mean, let it out, you know, stuff that I've been holding for so long that only he needs to hear and not anyone else, and then forgive him, and then, you know, he has to carry on that burden, you know, he has to carry that, you know, and I can just be set free. So, oh, my God. I didn't have to.
I mean, most definitely. I mean, now that you say that like that, I mean, I can relate more because, you know, I mean, I did the same situations here, and, you know, and it's all like with that, what I would say to you on that is, you know, yeah, like it'd probably be best, you know, say what you had to say and let it go because it's just like, you know, you got that off your chest. So now it's just like he knows how you feel. And, you know, you just say, like, you know, somebody would need you before you need them. Like, you know, like, for an example, with my situation, like, you know, my real father called me. I told my step pops all day. So, like, when my real father, he called and he'd be like, or, you know, you ain't answer the phone call, or if you don't want to talk to me, you know, you don't got to talk to me. I'd tell him, like, yo, listen, I'm a grown man. I'm past all that, having that anger for you because you wasn't there for me and my siblings. But I'm grown now. I know to be there for my kids like you wasn't there. So it kind of helped me, you know, realize what it would be like to be a better father. But, you know, you just got to let that grudge go because it's just like, like I said, you know, they'll need you before you need them because you did your whole life without them. So, you know, you wouldn't jump to a phone and say, yo, I need you. They'll call you first, like, I know I ain't talked to you in forever, but da-da-da, and you just be like, well, call whoever you've been calling all these years. I'm sorry to hear I still got love for you, but I'm doing what I got to do, you know what I mean?
Right. You have to be the bigger person, I guess, in the grudge situation. You know, it'll make you feel better that you were the bigger person, and regardless of how the outcome may be, I mean, I don't know what I'm facing. You know, he can just flip it around and be like, what the hell are you doing here? Like, you know, he could flip it around on me and be like, what I'm doing there or whatever, this and that. I don't know how I'm going to be received. But that's, like Ronnie was saying, that's part of not walking in faith and letting that fear seep in. So I'm going to walk in faith when I walk in there, in a hospital or whatever, and I'm going to walk in faith, and I'm going to let him know I'm there for my reason. You know, I'm there because I need to express something, because I need to let him know how I feel, and I need to let him know that I forgive him, that no matter anything or whatever, I forgive him. And so I'm going to clean myself off for that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not carrying that no more. I'm not carrying something I didn't do. And in return, I also use that to be the best mother that I can possibly be, you know? And it's my mission in life to always have my children know that I got their back 100%, that I am there for them regardless of whatever, that they can turn to me and I won't let them down, you know? So out of a negative that was done to me, I turned around to me for me to be a positive towards my children and other people's children, because I say other people's kids are my kids. I got thousands of nieces and nephews. You know, I got godsons and godsisters. I got, you know, adopted children. Like, you know, I'm blessed to have, you know, to be able to touch so many people's lives and so many children's lives. And I vow to be there 100% because that's so important. You know why? I didn't have that. So I know how important it is to have a solid adult, whether it be a parent or not, but just an adult that you know you can count on that person in time of trouble. You know, you as a teenager, you get caught up in things. Oh, man, I made a mistake, or I did this wrong, or I should have done this another way. Somebody that you know that is solid in your life and that you could turn to. Every child needs that. Every daughter needs her father in their life. Even if the daughter tells you, oh, I don't want to hear about you or drop dead or whatever have you, it is your duty. I implore all these dads, please, I'm begging you, they need you. All that talk is just talk. Make sure you continue to be in your daughter's life, in your son's life, in your children's life. These kids need their parents in their lives. You know, everybody got to stop worrying about everybody else. You know, my wife, my woman, my man, my husband. But, and y'all, each side of the spectrum. And in the middle is where the children fall. In the middle is where we all get caught up. In the middle is where I was at, you know, and forgotten about it and abandoned. It's like my feelings were disregarded, you know. I turned it around. I did a lot of positive things, and I continue to do positive things in my life, and I choose to walk that right path. There was a minute where I fumbled, and I was messing up left and right. I mean, I still messed up. Hello, I'm not perfect. I fall off every now and then. But the key thing is when I do, I get back up, and you know, and I try to make amends on it. I don't just keep riding the wave of negativity. Even if I fall in, because I'm only human, I may fall in the wave for a little while, but then I'll catch myself. I'll hold on to something, and I'll be like, hold on. I'm not riding this wave no more. I'm getting off. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the difference with a lot of people, that people do negative things, and then they continue, and it's just like it spirals out of control for a time, and then you're like, then you're caught up. You know what I'm saying? Then you're so caught up that you're like, wow, what the hell just happened? I just did one thing, or I saw one way, and all this escalated. It's so hard, I always tell everybody, it's so hard to remain positive, to keep positive thoughts. But if you keep a nice, knit, tight, positive circle around you of people that all they want to do is positive things, or they want to uplift you, you know, that they're not people that are worrying about what you got or what you don't got, or are happy when you're, you know, when you're at your lowest, you have to create that surrounding around you It takes a village to raise children. Around your children, you got to be careful who is around your kids, who's giving those samples out, you know, male figures along with your positive, you know, women figures. And it's hard, man. It takes a village. It takes a village. But it takes the parents, man. Just please be in your children's lives, man. Forget about all that other stuff. All that other stuff is crazy. Because while you're out there in the street doing what you're doing or wherever you're at, and you're not paying every time and every day and every year that passes that you're away from your child, it's a time is lost. You can't get time back. You can get money back. You can do money again. You can make money again, you know, whatever. You can even make more children, granted, but you can't take back the time that you've already lost with the ones you got. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I don't want to sound so preachy, but I guess it's just that I'm a little extra emotional today.
No, you keep it in 100, Emma. You just keep it real right there. You know, sometimes you gotta put it out there like that for people to understand. It's like Sirius told Trey at Boys in the Hood. He's like, anybody can make a baby, but it take a man to raise his child. You know, a lot of people don't understand that. You know, females too. They had these kids and they still want to run the streets to the club or over this one's house and this, that, and the third. And your little man at home and his lunch ain't even packed to school tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's just real crazy. Kids having kids, and you can still be grown. You're still considered a kid to me because you're not putting your priorities in order.
Right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Like. You know, that's another thing with the kids, you know, having kids. You know, nobody's ready. They're not ready, you know. So them, of course, not being ready in that situation, then they want to still continue to live their life and do their things. But, again, who suffers is the kids. Bugsy, give me a second. I got another caller. 646-646, you're on with Emma E2K on E2K on the spot. Who's this and where you calling from? 646?
Emma, what's good? What's going on? What's going on, Emma? It's your boy Swag, yo.
Oh, my God. You lucky we are live, boy. You lucky we are live. Peace, man. Peace.
Peace. What's going on? I hear this topic right here. This is a pretty interesting topic.
Yes. Interesting. Very serious. We're going deep. We're going in the paint with it.
Right. So I just heard a glimpse of what you're touching on.
Okay. So the topic is how long is too long to carry a grudge, and when do you forgive?
My thing is that the way I see it is you shouldn't have a grudge at all. You shouldn't really keep grudges. It's that only stores negative energy, and when you store negative energy, it's just like food. It becomes a part of you. Anything that you eat and you digest, it becomes a part of your genetic makeup. So if you store that negative energy and you have a grudge for someone, that person may be dead, and you don't even know that person's dead, and you still got that negative energy within you, and it'll cause things around you to become negative. So, you know, energy affects energy. So if you get caught up in the negative realm of grudges, you actually bring that into your own circles or ciphers. You know, you start coming home with this negative energy, and it's affecting the people around you, and then, you know, it stuns productivity. So I don't think you should hold a grudge at all. I can't see a rational, logical reason to holding a grudge. If you got an issue with somebody, then you should deal with it and move forward.
Now, let me tell you the reason why I'm discussing this topic, and, you know, because what you're saying, I don't kind of feel that it fits me. So the reason why we're doing this topic today is because I got news today that my father, my biological father, he has cancer in the hospital, and you know, it could be a very serious situation where he won't be here no longer. Now, him and I do not have a relationship because he's been an absent father.
Right.
I've been carrying a grudge for my father 30-something years, close to 40 years. The reason why I haven't been able to resolve with him is because he hasn't been around for me to do
right.
So. He was living his own world, his own life, you know, his fast-paced life, whatever have you, you know, that got him in the situation that he's in right now. Now, I keep repeating, I'm not here to judge him. I'm not judging him on that because I actually have gone on with my life.
I think
I live pretty much a positive life, or very positive, productive. People around me are positive.
Right.
You know, am I perfect? No, I fall, you know, every now and then, but I try to pick myself back up. I give to the community. I give my laugh to everyone. I mean, you know me on a personal note, so you know what I'm saying is not a lie. You know, okay. Anybody that knows me know that I give my laugh and I'll do whatever I can for everyone. So I haven't, I don't think that it's kind of, I don't think that that grudge that I've had has affected anybody else but me.
Right. Well,
you know what I'm saying?
I mean,
I've been walking this day. That woman walking, I don't know.
Right, but what I'm saying is that, because I share, you know, a similar experience in terms of my father not being there. You know, he passed away 2 years ago. However, when he was here on the planet, he was not around for me. You know, I met up with him around like the age of like 17, 18. And what's crazy is that it took me to actually humble myself and say, you know what, let me get to know a little bit about this person. Because if I hold on to this grudge of him not being there and this is why I went through these different circumstances, then I would never fully get to know this person. And lo and behold, the 2 years that I did get to know him around that time frame, you know, he got real sick. You know, so it was good that I was able to get in contact with him and get to know a little bit about him and his history and some of the stories he told me of when I was growing up with my mom. And I'm like, what? My mother did that? You know what I mean? And he passed away, and I'm like, wow, you know. That anger, it just went away because I never really got a chance to know this person. I wasn't in that person's shoes, so I don't know the reason why he did it. I don't agree with him not being there. However, I wasn't in his exact shoes, so I can't say, you know what, I hate you forever. I'm not gonna hold that grudge. You know, you have to whenever there's a grudge or something like that, you have to like define that. What does that mean? You know, how are you willing to take that to the grave? I don't think so. If not, then you should let the grudge go, you know. And I'm not saying specific to just you. I'm saying any grudge, I don't think you should keep, because it's really not, it's not benefiting you. How does that benefit you by holding a grudge? You know, because you got to also think about the kid. Like, you know, it's like they ask you a story about him. If you don't know the person, then it stops right there. It's kind of like that person never even really existed. So, you know, like I said, I don't judge anybody. If you know, the reason, I mean, I think sometimes a person knows that a grudge is not necessarily a good thing, but people hold grudges anyway. You know, the reason why, I don't know. Is it something with emotion that makes, you know, a person hold on to a grudge? I don't know. But that's
mine,
not something that I practice.
Mine is emotional. I'm
going
to admit to that. Mine is definitely emotional.
Right.
Because I wanted to hold him accountable, but you know, in really thinking about it, I can't be the one holding him accountable. You know what I'm saying? He has to be. I had this conversation with you too, like a way back, about accountability.
Yeah. Right.
So I can't hold him accountable. He has to hold himself accountable. For bringing me into this world, for not being there for me, like he has to hold that, and really I have to let it go. So
that's what I'm trying to say, because the thing is this: when I came on the line, I heard y'all speaking about positive and negative energy. And the thing is this: if you're holding on to a grudge, think about it. That energy is not kinetic anyway. So everything that you built up with, and all of that frustration there, and that anger, and you know, I want to scratch your face, and you wasn't there for me, all of that. It really has no bearing on him, because he doesn't experience that which you're experiencing. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a man that, you know, was never there for his child, he sometimes he'll forget, you know. So, actually, if you really want him to be accountable and you want him to feel what you're feeling, then you should probably talk to him. That's the only way he'll actually feel that, because otherwise the ignorance is going to be, you know what I'm saying, like bliss. Like, he's not going to know. And it's crazy. It's sad, because this is like, when you think about it, this is irrational. This is illogical. This is insane. Like, how could you not think about this child that you created? Like, I am you. I came from your offspring. How could you not think about that? But it happens every single day.
I look just like my father. If you were to see me, if you were to see me and together, it's just crazy. You know, my father's split image. Well,
that's amazing.
More
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's
but what, you know, I look at it like this, you know, it's just very, very unfortunate, you know, a very unfortunate situation. And you know, you got to make the best decision, you know, as to, you know, he has a situation right now. So, you know, think about it in 6 months from now, you know, if he's not here in the physical, you know, all of that you were feeling, he's never going to get a chance to know that you felt that way, probably. He can probably imagine like, wow, you know, because he knows that as long as he knows that you exist, it's probably there on his conscience. He's probably like, you know, damn, you know, one of these days I should talk to her. But he doesn't really understand it.
He made the attempt. I'm not, you know, in his defense, he made an attempt about 15 years ago. He did make an attempt, you know, he's going to that program, and he did make the attempt to come to me and ask for forgiveness, and I shut him down. And he wanted me to tell him, like, I missed him, and I told him, how can I miss what I never had? And I was very bitter. I was very bitter at that moment in time, and I just felt like he was pressuring me. Like in other words, like, now it's on his time. He's ready to come make this relationship. Maybe I should have humbled myself, maybe not. At that moment, my emotions took over, and I shut him down. I totally pushed him away, and I said, I live this much time without you, I'll continue to do so. But I was immature in my feelings then.
Right. Right. I mean, wow, that's deep.
It's just
real deep. Like I said, though, I can relate, you know, on the level that occurred to me, that same thing happened to me. And I know how I went about it. I was very, very, very bitter. So, and to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes you have a grudge on a person and you don't even have control over it. You know, like, you know, some of the anger, you know, my father at his funeral, I was, you know, slightly angry. I was still angry. You know what I'm saying? At his funeral, I was angry. You know, because of the fact that there's certain decisions that I felt that if he would have did things differently, that we would have had a much closer relationship and I would have known him on another level. You know?
Right. And you would have had him like a
real. So what I'm saying is that sometimes you take that stuff to the grave with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, you should. If it affects you, then you shouldn't hold on to that. You should move on. You know? You shouldn't let that. And it's bad because I always think about it. I'm like, damn. You know, I look at like the I'm real tight with, you know, the CEO of my company. I look at him. He's a multi millionaire, and it's because of his mother and father. And you know, his father is still part of the business. And his mom's is still alive, and you know, they have a good relationship, and I'm just like, damn, you know what I'm saying? I'm not at that, you know what I mean? And I'm where I am and making moves without that. So imagine if I had that. That's how sometimes I feel, and it generates anger. But at the same time, I know that I can't live, that's not going to change my situation. Take that same energy and harness it and do something positive with it. That's all I can say.
Right, definitely. I definitely attempt to do that. 347, I see you. I'm about to bring you on. Give me a second. Now to stay on hold. Swagger, swagger, swag. Give me a hold. Let me bring in 347, okay?
All right, cool.
347, you're on with Emma E2K. E2K on the spot.
You're on with Emma E2K.
You got to know what. You got to know yourself.
Hello?
Yes, is it Jason?
Yeah, it's Jacob.
Okay, well, Jacob, listen, since we already went through it, if you're on the line, you can't be listening and talking because I get feedback, man.
I'm so sorry. It's okay. You know what it is? It sounds like, Hello?
Yes, you're talking and I'm listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look, I'm high, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just listening to this and it's interesting. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I could publicly say that I'm high and I'm listening to it, you know, and
wait,
it's fucking
hold
interesting.
Hold on, wait,
you know what I'm saying?
Whoa, before I have to call security, give me 1 second. So you're trying to say that my therapist is helping me high?
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
You're helping me high. And you're publicly saying you're high and you're happy with that.
No, I'm not happy with that. I'm just saying that I think it's interesting.
But that's not the topic, Dick. Jacob, let's stay to the topic. So what we're talking about
I wasn't sticking to the topic. I was just letting you know why I was how, all right, forget it. Scratch that. Back to the topic. You're
okay.
Right. So.
Okay, good. All right. So the grudge thing and the forgiving thing. You have anything else to, you know, to touch on it before we get off the topic already? So we're about to get off. Anything else? What's on it? Jacob? Okay. Jacob? No? All right. Okay. All righty. So, what we're talking about is, you know, the topic that we discussed, which we actually went real deep in it. You know, I'm loving everybody's response. Shout out to everybody that called in, Jacob from Brooklyn. I got Swaggy Swag from the BX, Bugsy, everybody on the, you know, that called in and gave their input, Rodney, everybody on the check-in, Giselle, everybody that's on the Ustream, along with the Facebook, all the Facebookers hitting me and all the... Okay, and all everybody else, shout out to Ronnie that just hit me up on IM as well. You know, I just want to do like some kind of some closing with this topic. It kind of, I guess, went around my situation more than likely. I want to bring in back Swag, 646 Swag. Are you still on there? Can you bring Swag on? Roll.
Yo, what's good? I'm back in the building.
All right, that's what. I'm gonna stay talking to you because you were the last one, you know, calling in, so we can give another minute of discussing, you know, the topic, which is again carrying the grudge and carrying it too long, and when do you forgive? So you gave your input. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, definitely. I also just want to say that. You know, I know you got a lot of callers out there, a lot of listeners. You know, definitely a lot of people listening to these topics because they're going through these same type of things. And, you know, I want to thank you because every time, you know, your show is always relevant. You know what I mean? Like, a person might not be going through it at that very moment, but it's definitely your topics are things that people go through. And this is something that, you know, within our community, you know, blacks and Latinos, we experience that a lot. Of not having a person in their lives, which will create a grudge, you know. But think about it. You wouldn't have a grudge. You wouldn't have a grudge on your enemy. You'll just say, I hate him, and I hope the motherfucker has a heart attack on his steak. But in order for it to be a grudge, it's kind of like a love and hate kind of thing because it's like, not to say that you hate the person, you know. However, mm-hmm. It's like I have a strong dislike for you. Because of the fact that you're not the person that you're supposed to have been, you know, and then you look at examples around you and you see positive examples. So, you know, those are things that that can generate, you know, grudges and hatred and all that kind of stuff for your loved ones. So, you know, I definitely see that topic as one that needs to be not only touched on the show, but it needs to be brought up in dialogue, you know. Like I said, you know, it hurts me when I think about it. So what do? I just don't think about it. I don't think about the times that my father wasn't there. I think about the times that he was there, you know, or the conversations that I did have with him and the things in the history from the stories that people have told me, which was, you know, most of the time good. So I think about it in that light. And then best of all, look at the creation that he created, such a beautiful, smart woman. You know what I'm saying? That's how I look at it. So you gotta look at the positive and think about it. In order for me to be me, he had to be something great at one point in time.
Wow, that's awesome. You know what you just said? Ooh, it made a lot of sense. It actually makes me feel better about a decision that I'm gonna make, which is to go see him in the hospital and to go talk to him and start the communication. Because I don't know how long I have And I need to know exactly where my grudge it really remains, you know, where it's starting or where it stems from, you know. I expected, there's a lot of things that I expected, my expectation level for him as a father, he didn't, I guess, meet up to it, I guess, the standard, you know, just being there or something, or somebody, I'm going to call my father, or I never had that. In school, you know, everybody did their Happy Father's Day card. I bring that to my mother. You know, say Happy Father's Day. I celebrate. I took my mother out and bought my mother a gift. Like, you know, like, and even though, even on Father's Day, me being a single mom raising children as well, and some people, you know, say it to me, you know, Happy Father's Day and happy. And it's sad all the way around because I didn't have a father. I don't want to be a father. You know, I needed my father, and my kids need their father. But it's like, you know, everybody has to take accountability for, you know, for their actions or for what they do and for the children they bring into this world, whether they're naive or young kids or not or whatever. If you bring a child to this world, it is your responsibility. It's not, you know, it's not about you anymore. It shouldn't be about you anymore, let's just say. It shouldn't be. You know, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be about that seed or that life that you bring out here. Like, who else is supposed to be responsible? You know what I'm saying? So everybody else is supposed to step in. I mean, you know, yeah, they say it takes a village to raise a child, but you should be front and center of that village. So, you know, I don't know. I still got my issues. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think that's something that's not gonna go away. That's gonna stick with you for the rest of your life. It's like this: the same way that, you know, the good things that your mother did, when you think about when you were in public school and junior high school, and all those things. The same way you remember the good things that she did, you cherish her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. So it's not gonna go away in one day. You're going to carry that probably with you for the rest of your life. But the thing is just to not let it, you know, get the best of you.
Right, right. It's how you, I guess it'll be how I carry it. Right now I'm carrying it as a grudge. And I guess if I sit down to talk to him, and who knows, he might surprise me, you know. I mean, I don't know what I'm walking into. But you know what? I tell you, I'm going to walk in there with faith, you know. I'm not going to be scared. I'm not going to let fear keep me away. And if I was able to be raised in the Bronx, in the hood, and I came out of there, you know what I'm saying, fighting and all that, and then happened to me then, I wasn't scared of nothing. I've done seen bodies drop in front of me and all that. I've done been the middle of shootouts and all that. How much scarier can it be for me to go face the man that helped create me, yeah, right?
And also, don't forget about the bid that you did, too.
Thanks. Thanks. I forgot you're the one that bailed me out. but and then you made a strong thing when you said, how bad could he have been when he created me? So I had to have been born from something. I mean, you know, well, I had to have been created from something good. Something good. I was able to, you know, to seep in, I guess, into me or whatever. I don't know.
Exactly.
But, you know, I feel better, though. After this show, I definitely feel better and feel stronger to be able to walk in there and say what I need to say. Definitely let him know how and share my anger, my resentments with him. And, you know, whatever will be. And, you know, I'm going to go. Open mind, you know what I'm saying? I would do it for somebody else. I would do it for someone that's not even related to me. Why can't I do it for my father, right?
Exactly.
So, okay. So, I think I got like 5 more minutes into the show, and I'm just going to recap then on everything. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. I totally appreciate everybody's input. All my therapists that came out on the struggle with me today. I want to say, Lush, we're thinking about you. Lush is in the hospital, and she's also, you know, she's watching on the stream live because this is what we do. We live this regardless whether we're in the hospital bed or not. We still continue, and, you know, we say that the show must go on, so the show is going on, sis. I hold you down like you hold me down. I love you. Get better. I want to shout out again, rest in peace to Party Artie P80. You'll always be remembered. Shout out to everybody that called. For some reason, Miss Amelia Moore didn't call in today. She was supposed to be one of my callers, and she didn't, but shout out to her. Either way, you know, I don't know what happened to her, but I hope that everything is, you know, is well. Don't forget the fundraiser, people, the fundraiser. If you're in the New York City area, this Thursday, at Mimosa's Lounge, doors open at 9 o'clock. We're collecting toys and we're collecting, you know, whatever funds we make at the door to buy the toys for the toy drive, the 9th annual Kris Kringle Toy Drive, which will be in Mimosa's December 22nd. So if you're in the New York City area, make sure you come out. There is no dress code. There's just no hat and no do-rag for the gentlemen, all right? Other than that, you come in your jeans, you come in, you know, in your leisure wear. But come meet, because I'm not trying to take a picture with you. You're looking all like, who did it and ran, or you just woke up or something. You know what I'm saying? So just come meet, come, you know, presentable. Come out for the cause. It's a good cause. We're raising money to be able to buy gifts to the neighborhood children. This is a nice year, man, that we've been able to be productive in doing such things. So please come out, please support. Follow me on the Facebook, Emma/Emma E2K. Follow me on the Twitter, Emma E2K. Follow me, Google me, however it is that you want to find me. I'm here every Saturday, E2K on the spot from 8 to 10. Also, Tuesday night is my midnight hour with my feel-good music and my co-host, TDI. Make sure Tuesday night at midnight, it's a whole hour of just playing feel-good music, music that makes you feel good, that's good for your soul, that makes you make a baby or not, if you're not ready for it, that makes you just feel sexy or just, you know, and it is 21 and over show, so please, at midnight, there shouldn't be nobody but 21 and over up anyway. Thanks, everybody, you know, for causing tears, Giselle, and causing laughter, Jacob, to my day. I totally appreciate it. You know, I pay homage to those before me. And in saying that, not to be a hypocrite, I will pay homage to my father, and I will go see him, and I will go walk in faith in there, and I will try to make it the best that I possibly can. So, usa, like I like to say, motherfucking sa, I feel better. I feel good. I'm going to kiss myself again. Good golly. I love myself. Love yourself. Hug, peace, and hair grease. See ya. Stay tuned. Next week, I'm here. Don't forget to follow your sexiness. Play me some music. Take me out with some music, Rose. Shout out to Rose E2K. Make sure you follow her on the Twitter. Can I get some? Can you roll?
Can't fault her, the last nigga's fault her. but he ain't beat it up. High salt her. Should have seen her come to me when I called her. Slow strut like she walking to the altar. Handbag on her arm costs four bills. And she ain't got a bag, bra or steel. Often imitated, never duplicated. They say she a dime, I say she underrated. I just met her, so the next solution. Did my